You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
If you're sitting, if you could just stand just for a moment, we're gonna take a few moments right now and just encounter God again. We're gonna meet Him again. We did this thing about a month ago in My City Youth where we had a challenge for all of our youth and our leaders if they could read Psalm 63 every day of the week. So they read it every day for 30 days, and I think some of them are still reading it. Because sometimes you got to get the first things first. So before anything, and man, I'm so honored. You guys are so incredible. But before we move one more minute, before we do anything else tonight, I want us to spend another moment in His presence. David writes in Psalm 63, he says, "Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh, it longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Basically, what David is saying here, he's using this scripture and he's describing to us how much he is in love with Jesus, how much he's in love with God. He says, "My soul thirsts for You, my flesh longs for You. In a dry and weary land where there is no water." Basically what he's saying is this, it says, if I was in a desert, if I was in the hottest part of the earth, if I was in the most desolate place on earth, if I was without water for 3 days, if I was about to die, and somebody was to offer me water or one more encounter with Jesus, then every day of the week, "Oh God, You are my God." Because he had a revelation. His revelation was this. He knew that without water, he may die, but without Jesus, he will never live. So tonight, we're going to spend 90 seconds right now from the back to the front. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you came from. I don't know what your worship experience is like. But tonight, we're going to let everything out. We're going to spend the next 90 seconds in the presence of God. Whatever voice comes out of you to scream, to shout, to worship Him, we're going to spend some time and let Him know, God, that if I had a choice between water and between You, then every day of the week, I choose You. I choose You in the good days. I choose You in the bad days. I choose You on the mountains. I choose You in the valleys. I choose You in my desert. I choose You whenever I am, God. I need You. I'm desperate for You. So come on, why don't we spend some time right now in the presence of God? Come on, lift up your voice. Worship Him tonight. worship you tonight. You're our God. Praise God. First things first. Nothing compares to him. A moment in his presence is better than a lifetime anywhere else. Tonight, out of 90 minutes, if you can just get a moment, if you can just get a moment, everything changes. Get a moment tonight. Come on, lift your hands. God, we thank you that your presence is in this place. God, tonight we come with an expectation to see you like we've never seen you. Show us something new about you. A new revelation that clicks inside of us and says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Tonight we want you, your presence, your power to change us, to transform us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, why don't you give somebody a high five? You can take your seat now. Praise God. Thanks so much, team. That was unbelievable. You know, I want to welcome as well all our online viewers tonight. Man, so glad that you guys are here with us. All my favorite states are represented. All the states with the biggest deer are represented tonight. I appreciate you. I love you. Idaho, hook a brother up. Amen. So we're going to get into this thing tonight. Hey, if you're at home sitting down in your recliner with your soda or whatever in your hand, feel free to stand up and shout and clap or worship, whatever you want to do. Hey, nobody's even watching. Nobody cares that you're in your pajamas. Listen, I know there's people in their pajamas here at church. So nobody cares what you, just get up, worship. It's going to be a whole lot of fun tonight. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you, Pastor John. Thank you, Pastor Becky. Your campus pastor tore it up this morning, Pastor Becky. She ripped the devil a new one today. It was, make sure you podcast it, download it. It's going to be good. I want to do this before I get into the message. I did it in every service. I gave a plug for My City Youth because we're stepping into a new era right now. It's a new day. It's a new season. We're about to kick some devil butt this year. We're going to go pick a fight with a devil that's been left alone for too long. And we're going to go do some things. And so I want you to, if you're in here tonight and you're like, man, I feel like I want to serve and volunteer in youth, then I want you to come see me afterwards. And listen, even if you don't, it's okay. We will inspire you to want to serve in My City Youth because that's how we roll. So I take pride in that, actually, because I don't want to just convince you to be a part of My City Youth. I want to inspire you to help us change a world. So that's what we're going to do. So after the service, I'll be down here, and I want to talk to you if you're interested at all in My City Youth, because I said this morning, but we have two options. We can be a spectator of a move of God, or we can be a participator of a move of God. Do you know you have an option tonight? You have an option in your life. You can read about all the great things God did, or you can write about it. You can experience it. You can be a witness to it. You can be a part of it. Or you can watch it from the sidelines. I don't want to watch a move of God from the sidelines. I don't want to stand there and say, hey, I don't want to pay the price to play on the field. No, I want to pay the price. I want to do what's required because I want to be a part of the winning team. I want to be a part of a move of God. I want to be a part of bringing prayer back into every school in America. Listen, there's 250,000 teenagers in San Diego County. Our goal actually isn't just to save them all. Our goal is to develop them all so we can change a world. That is our goal for My City Youth. So we want you to be a part of it. If it's a little bit too big for you, come anyways, because we will enlarge your capacity. We will enlarge your vision. We will enlarge how big you can dream, because we know that we are in this place and in San Diego for a reason. I know that some of us tonight, we think that this is the final days and the final hours and the final hours for the church and the final hours for Christians, and we hide back and we're scared, but it is actually not the final hours. It is the finest hours. Everybody online tonight, you are not in the final hours. You are in the finest hours of the church, the finest hours of youth ministry, the finest hours to be a Christian in the U.S. and in the world is right now. I don't know if you've been watching what's happening around lately, but God is up to something. And I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of what he's about to do. And this is kind of blending in with my message tonight, so I'm just going to roll with it. But listen, God has called us to do more than just spectate. He has called us to do more than just sit back and watch what he's going to do. Listen, this life, every gift, every ability, every business, every talent, everything you have is for one person. It's for building the kingdom of God. See, right now we kind of have a purpose problem. We have a purpose problem. We have no purpose, or we have purpose in the wrong area. You want to know why drugs are so bad? You want to know why addictions are so bad? You want to know why the devil uses that to grip people's lives? He does it not because of the addiction factor. He does it because of the purpose factor. He understands that if he can get somebody addicted to something, he can remove purpose from their life. He's not afraid of you living. He's afraid of you living without purpose. See, when I live my life, I don't want to live it without purpose. I want my heart to beat for something, because a lot of us are alive, but not a lot of us are living. And I want to live. I want to live for God. I want to give everything I have to serve him, because we have an eternity to live with God, but only a lifetime to live for him. So why don't we give our best, 110%, while we're here on earth, because we have an eternity to party with him. To do, I don't know, fly, golf, drive, I don't know, a lot of fun things. But right now, let's get to work. And let's have fun doing it. Amen. Come with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. The title of my message tonight is, It Ends Here. It Ends Here. I'm going to preach through this and give an opportunity for people to respond to this message. I want to pray for some people. We're still in January of 2017. We still got 11 more months to go. So I believe this is still the start. And I believe God wants to do something new in people's hearts tonight. In my life, in your life, in everybody's here. Because we're about to step into an exponential growth season at C3 San Diego. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 22 says, Benaiah was a mighty man of King David. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Gabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall, and the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. See, this is all talking about David's mighty men, and I want to focus tonight on just verse 22 and what Benaiah did. A lot of us know the story of when he went down into a pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. A lot of us will preach about it. A lot of us will know it. A lot of us have used that in illustration, have used that as a t-shirt design, have used that in so many different ways of I want to be a Benaiah who kills a lion in a pit on a snowy day. And I believe as we are going into 2017, as we still have 11 more months to go, I believe there are some things that we can still learn, so that 2017 can be the year where we kick goals personally, where we kick goals spiritually, where we kick goals in the church and in our schools and in our workplaces. But we have to first get some things right, and we can learn some things from Benaiah. We can learn what he did. We can learn how he did it. We focus on the fact that Benaiah killed a lion in the pit on a snowy day. But what we forget is before he did that, he killed something like a lion. Because before we can kill the lion, we have to kill something like it. All of us have a giant to take down in our life. You have a giant that is standing before you. It's called your call. It's called your calling. You have something that God has said, listen, I've put you in this place to take this giant down. But before we can take the giant down, God has to teach us how to take the little things down first. Before we can get to the main fight, we have to knock out some of the little guys first. See, there are some things that I don't want to take with me through 2017. I understand that there's a giant that is in front of me that I need to take down. But before I can take that down, there are some other little things in the way that I have to deal with first. And I understand this, that every little giant, every little obstacle, every little thing that is in my way is there to strengthen me for the calling that God has for my life. What you're walking through right now is never meant to take you out. What you're dealing with right now is not meant to knock you down. What you're dealing with right now is meant to strengthen you for the real thing that God has for you. That's why we can't shy away from a fight. That's why we can't shy away when things get difficult and when things get rough. God has called us to step into something new. God has called us to step into that fight. Benaiah says this, hey, I'm going to take down the lion because I took down something like it before. See, I know I have fought my fight. I have done these things. I have taken down these giants. So when I get to my call, when I get to that thing that God has purpose for me to do, it's not going to be a problem, because before I took some giants down, when nobody was watching, I dealt with some things. Like King David, when nobody was watching, he killed a lion, he killed a bear, he defended his sheep from the predators around him. All of those were in preparation for Goliath. See, those giants are not meant to take you out. They're meant to develop you. They're meant to make you stronger. Every single one of them is all training for the real thing. See, everything I face is meant to develop me. Every fight I face is meant to develop me. And I think some of us are in here tonight and you're thinking, well, I'm good. I'm retired, or I'm not really fighting any fights right now. Everything's kind of easy in my life. Well, what I've realized, if you're not fighting a fight for yourself, then God has called you to fight a fight for somebody else. God has called you, if you're not fighting a fight for you right now, if everything's good in your life, then that doesn't give us a right to sit back and watch what things are happening. Now we need to step in to fight for somebody else's life. Somebody you know that's going through trials. Somebody that you know is going through some struggles. Somebody that you know is battling with a sickness or a disease. Somebody that you know is walking through some hell right now. If everything's going good on the inside of you, then maybe you need to step out of yourself and get involved in a fight for somebody else. Maybe that's what God is calling us to do. I love Benaiah here because Benaiah says, the little giants prepare me for this big thing. And when he killed the lion, it wasn't just to protect him. It was to protect other people around him. So what I want to do tonight is I want to break down some observations that I've seen from Benaiah that we can apply to our life this year and the rest of 2017. The first thing is this. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. The first thing I love about Benaiah and the first observation that I see from his life is when he killed the lion, it wasn't in self-defense. Benaiah didn't kill the lion when it attacked him. It wasn't out of self-defense. The lion didn't attack the village, and so he killed it. Benaiah went after the lion before it went after him. What I love about Benaiah is this, is one day he's walking around his village, one day he's walking around his town, and on the outskirts he sees a lion. He sees a lion that maybe could eventually hurt him, could maybe eventually hurt people around him, could maybe eventually kill family that is close to him. So what he said this, hey, before it comes in and hurts us and attacks us and kills it, I'm gonna go and fight it. Benaiah figured some things out. So many of us today are doing the opposite. When it hurts me, I'll deal with it. When it affects me, then I'll kill it. When it goes past that line, then maybe I'll deal with that addiction. It's not an addiction yet, so I'll wait. It's not an affair yet, so I'll wait. It's not stealing yet, so I'll wait. I love what Benaiah does. Benaiah says this, hey, it's not a problem yet, but tomorrow it might be. So before it's a problem, I'm gonna kill it. Before it can kill somebody close to me, I'm gonna take it out first. Benaiah didn't wait for it to attack. He didn't wait for it to come close. He didn't wait for it to destroy his family. He didn't wait for it to empty his bank account. He didn't wait for it to do any of those things. He said, I've looked at you and I know your kind. I know that you are not here for me. I know that you are not here to benefit me. I know that you are not here to lift me up. I know you have one purpose, devil, and it's to take me out. So guess what? Before you get me, I'm gonna get you. So let me tell you what that means. Some of us tonight are struggling. Some of us tonight are walking through something. We have something on the edge of an addiction, something on the edge of an affair, something on the edge of sin, something on the edge of breaking the law, some kind of struggle, and it's not there yet, but it could be. I wonder if tonight, before we leave this place, we can deal with that lion. We can kill it before it takes us out. But now he's a man because he says, it's not just going to go after me, it's going to go after people around me, because no bad decision only affects you. No bad decision only affects you. It always affects people around you. every time you step out of the call of God, every time we do something selfish, it is not just my life that gets affected. It is everybody around me. It's my family. It's my friends. It's my neighborhood. It's my school. It's my workplace. It's the call. It is everything around me when I step out because I don't want to deal with the lions in my life. But the opposite is also true. Every giant I defeat, every devil I take down, every addiction I overcome, every insecurity that I break, every fear that I get away from doesn't just affect me. It affects everybody else around me. So guess what? Now the breakthrough that I got, I can grab somebody else's hand and I can walk him through that breakthrough again and say, hey, I've been through it, so let me take you through it. I've been there, I've done that, and I killed that, so let me walk you through that thing. Everything that we fight is not just for us, it's for everybody around us. 2017 can't be your best year yet, but there are some things tonight on this altar in just a minute that you got to leave here. Not when it's a problem, before it is. The devil is so used to getting his hooks in people that we have to now deal with things after it's already dealt with us. What if we get a jump start? What if we get him first? I feel it. I see something. So I'm going to take care of it tonight. Benaiah says, I'm going to take it to him. See, that's why Christianity, our church, we're not on defense. We don't have a reactionary Christianity. It's not when the devil does something bad, then maybe we'll do something good. We're going to keep doing. We're going to keep taking ground. We're going to keep advancing. We're going to push the devil back. So as soon as he tries, he already falls. As soon as he comes, he already gets pushed back. We have to deal with these things in our lives. All of us have something tonight. All of us have an issue in our world. We have to deal with those things. The lion he killed was not in self-defense. Second observation I saw from Benaiah, and we kind of all seen this, was in order to kill the lion, he had to create a pit. He had to create a place where he knew he could defeat it, a place where he knew that the lion couldn't escape. Because he realized this, that if I get cornered in a place with the lion and I can't escape, I might. If I get cornered in a place where it's me or him and he can't escape, then he might. So Benaiah says this, I have to create a space in a place where, like the title of my message, Benaiah says, it ends here. Only one person is coming out of this thing. Only one thing is going to emerge from this pit. Benaiah says, I will attack it before it attacks me, and I will create a place where I have to deal with this thing. I'm going to create a space and a mindset that it ends here tonight. I am not going to wait until I'm 50. I'm not going to wait until tomorrow. I'm not going to wait until next week. I'm not going to wait until 10 years from now. I'm going to deal with this thing now. I'm going to create a pit, and I'm going to go in that thing, and we're going to deal with this lion and this giant and this addiction and this issue in my life, and it's going to end here. It's going to end here, and it's going to end here tonight. They had this moment in our life where we have a 3.5-year-old girl named Adeline, and then we have 2-year-and-a-half twin girls, identical. And it's been fun raising them and making them. Anyway, so but one night, I think this was before the twins were awake, Adeline was in a room next to us, and our doors were kind of close to each other. And I remember at this time, I woke up, and right after I woke up, that feeling you get when there's something not right in the house. And I felt this way, and I felt that feeling. And as soon as I woke up, Brianna woke up. And she didn't wake up just normal. She woke up saying, David, like there was something that she dreamt or imagined or something startled her and woke her up. And then you could feel it. You could feel the darkness. You could feel something evil in the house. As soon as that happened, our daughter, Adeline, who was in the next room, started screaming. Screaming like she was in pain. Screaming like something was wrong. I remember all this happened within about a minute of each other. I remember I went in there, I cuddled her, I put her back down to bed. And I was going to go back to bed, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that. So I closed Brianna's door, our bedroom door. I closed Adeline's door. And I remember standing there in between both of our doors. It's in the middle of the night, and I remember crying out to God. I remember speaking in tongues. I remember binding the devil. I remember something rose up on the inside of me, just like Benaiah, where I said, it ends here. I'm not going to wait until tomorrow. I'm not going to wait until it happens again. I'm not going to wait until it affects them. I'm not going to wait until it ruins their sleep. I'm not going to wait until sickness comes. I'm not going to wait for that thing. I don't want to wait until they're sick to deal with the sickness. Before the sickness comes, I want the sickness to know that it has no place in my home. Before it comes, let's deal with it. Let's create a space. Grab the devil by the beard and say, hey, I know you're trying to go, but you can't go because I'm not finished with you yet. I've just created a pit. We're going in it, and only one of us is coming out of it. We got to create a pit. One of my best friends growing up had he got married, and a couple months into his marriage, his wife had cheated on him. A couple months, and it was a heart-wrenching thing. And it was a horrible moment. I remember him going through this, and he was so in love with her, she wanted nothing to do with him. It was one of those horrible moments that you experience and walk through and see somebody's pain. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's wrong with them, and they always look at themselves of how they're not good enough and what they could have done better. And I remember watching him walk through this. And it got so bad, I remember having to pick him up in the middle of the night multiple times. Calling me in the middle of the night, went to go pick him up and drive him home because his wife didn't want anything to do with him. I remember it got so bad, I went on a work trip, and on the way back from the work trip, it kind of all came to a head. And while I was driving back, I got to this place where I was just so fed up with the devil. I was just so fed up with his grip and his hand on my friend's life. I remember in my car with the windows up and worship music blasting, screaming and yelling at the devil, using words that I probably shouldn't have used, but were accurate in describing him. I remember yelling at him. And I remember this, I remember almost stopping, but not stopping, because I didn't feel a release yet. And probably for an hour in the car, it was one of the most passionate times of prayer I've ever had. Until I felt something shift, something release, and something break open. And it was just then when I got back, we had found out that, you know, they were going to separate and get a divorce. But I remember the prayers I had was that she wouldn't grip him, she wouldn't destroy him, she wouldn't define him, that this thing wouldn't ruin his life. And that person now, because of a lot of prayers of a lot of people, a great church, great leaders around them, are now married. He's married again, has four beautiful kids, one of the healthiest, strongest marriages, everything restored. Because sometimes we have to dig a pit. And maybe you don't need it, but somebody does. Maybe you're good, but I know somebody else isn't. I know there's somebody at a gas station across the street who on the outside looks like everything's going good, but on the inside, they're crying out, will somebody dig me a pit? Will somebody fight with me? Will somebody fight for me? Will somebody help me take down this giant? We can have the band come up. So we have to deal with it before it deals with us. We have to create a space where we kill it, where it's either me or it. Benaiah is strategic. He's got a strategy. Because we all know it's on a snowy day. And a lot of times we preach and we talk about that it's not just in the convenient times where we have to deal with our issues. That it has to be in the times where it's not convenient. In the snowy times, in the cold times, in the rough times, in the bad times. I love Benaiah because he understands that. But the reason that he chose a snowy day is because he was strategizing the best way to take out this thing that was stronger and bigger than him. He used a day where he knew that his eyesight wouldn't be as good. He used a day when he knew that he wouldn't have as much traction and grip. He used a day when it was more difficult to hunt. He used that right opportunity because he said, if I have to get any advantage I can to defeat this enemy, I have to get any advantage I can to defeat this lion and this giant in my life. So you and I need to be people like that. We have to learn from Benaiah. We have to understand this, that we have to have a strategy to defeat the giant in our life. We have to have a strategy to defeat the enemy. He picked this place in time. He said, I'm going to dig a pit, but I'm not going to just do it any day. I'm going to wait till it's the worst conditions, maybe for me, but also for it. What does that mean? He said, I'm going to take it to a place where he's in unfamiliar territory, a place where he's not used to fighting, a place where he's not used, a place where he's never been before. So let me tell you what I mean by that. What I mean by that is this. It's just like Benaiah, you and I have to take the devil into uncharted territory. We have to take him to a place where he's never been before. Let me tell you what that place is. One of those places is a thing called worship. One of those things is a thing called giving. One of those things is a place called generosity. One of those places is a thing called hope, is a thing called love, is a thing called perseverance. We have to go into a place where he's never been before. We have to take our worst into worship. We have to take our worst into our giving. We have to take our worst into this place that we've never been. We have to take our worst into this place. Let me tell you why. We have to do that because the devil had a chance to take his worst into worship. But he didn't. When he had an opportunity to take his bad attitude in a place of surrender, he chose not to. So he has never been to that place. He has never been to the place that you and I get to be. He has never been to that place of worship like you and I. He has never been to that place when all hell is breaking loose around him and he steps in and says, everything's not right in me, but my soul will worship my God. It's a snowy day. It's when all the conditions don't seem right. But I'm going to take myself, I'm going to take my worst into worship. I'm going to take myself into a place where the devil cannot operate. He doesn't care if you go through bad times and mope. He'll follow you right into that pity party. The place he can't follow you is worship. Every time you step into worship, he has to check himself at the door. Every time you step into generosity, anytime you give a faith offering, he can't even touch that because he had his chance and he failed. He had his chance, but he didn't do it. He chose convenience and selfishness over what God had for him. See, he doesn't know how to fight in worship. Some of us are trying to fight fair fights with the devil. Hey, you put your gloves on, I put my gloves on, here's the rules. Don't give him no rules, sucker punch him. Sucker punch the devil. When he's trying to tie his shoes, kick him in the face. You don't fight fair with him, because he's not going to fight fair with you. You're going to say, hey, devil, hey, come with me. I'm pretending like I'm going to have a pity party. So on the outside, it's looking like I have a bad attitude. Just come with me. Follow me. Oh, just kidding. I'm going to worship. Just kidding. I'm going to give more. Oh, you try to take my job? Well, here's another offering. Oh, you try to destroy my marriage? Well, I'm going to pray for my spouse. That's a snowy day. That's the snowy day, the unfamiliar territory that we got to take the devil. We got to get that mindset. It ends here. I'm taking you to a place that you never been before. Everybody watching online, I know you're out of your seat right now, standing on your nice plush carpet. That's a good thing. Get up. You don't got to sit down anymore. You can get into this thing tonight. You know, God can touch you in your chair. He can touch you online. He can move in your heart where you're at. It's not just for the people here. It is wherever you are. That's for you in here tonight, too. God doesn't just move in here. You don't just have to deal with something in here. You can get home. You can open up your anointing oil. You can put it on every doorpost, every bedroom, every cornerstone of your house. You can anoint it. You can claim, and you can even mark out a spot and say, "Hey, devil, I'm calling you because we need to deal with something right now. Well, we need to deal with something. Why don't you come into my pit? Why don't you come into this space? Why don't you come into my arena? Because I need to deal with something tonight. I'm going to need to deal with this devil. I need to deal with this addiction. I need to deal with this lust. I need to deal with this sin. I need to deal with this bad attitude. I need to deal with this fear. I need to deal with this anxiety. I need to deal with this thing that doctors are telling me I need to medicate. I'm not going to medicate it anymore. I'm going to eradicate it tonight. We're going to deal with this thing. We're going to kick the devil out of my life. I will not believe that lie that I have to have this thing the rest of my life, that I'm going to walk this way the rest of my life, that I'm going to talk this way the rest of my life. I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to believe what His Word says, that He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to get in the pit, and I'm not getting out of it until one of us is left standing, and it will not be you, devil. You're going to be down on the ground. I'm going to be walking out of this place. We're going to have a victory. We're going to have healing. He confronted it. He went into the pit. He cornered the cat. You ever cornered a cat? They're crazy. They refuse to be a pet. Everything inside of them rages against being a house pet. Some of you online, your cat's on your lap right now. Get them off. Get them off. He gets into a pit with a cat, not a house cat, like an eat-your-face cat. He confronts this thing. It's you and me, giant cat. But I got a spear. I got a spear. I got a weapon. I got a weapon that allows me to get you before you get me. All of us have weapons. All of us have a weapon called prayer. All of us have a weapon called worship. All of us have a spear in our hand tonight to take out that devil, to take out that demon, to take out that addiction, to take out that struggle, to take out whatever it is that is in front of you right now. You have the weapon in your hand tonight. The last thing Benaiah does is he finishes it. It's not about how you start something. It's about how you finish it. Anybody can dig a pit. Anybody can hunt a lion. Everybody can get in a pit, but not everybody can finish it. So I wonder if tonight we can get to that place in just a moment where we say, tonight, I'm going to finish it. Tonight, it's over. No more will I let this thing rule me. No more will I let this lion walk around my house. No more will I let this lion walk around my life. No more will I let this lion walk around my school. No more will I let this lion walk around San Diego. No more will I let him, because one day he's going to come in and I'm going to get him before he gets anybody else. I'm going to get him before he gets my marriage. I'm going to get him before he gets my kids. I'm going to get him before he gets my city. I'm going to get him before he gets my nation. You know what I love about the last couple months? We got the devil before he got us. We went after him. Miracles happening. It's the best time to be alive. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Come on, I want you just to close your eyes tonight as you're standing to your feet. Some of you, you're in this place and you're wondering, man, what's going on? What's happening on the inside of me? You're saying that because you've actually never encountered the real Jesus. You've known about him, you just haven't known him. And before we move on and before we pray for some people tonight, before we do anything else, I want to give an opportunity. The best way for you to take down the lion is to get Jesus on your side. Get him in your life. Get him in your heart. And I'm just going to do this. I'm going to count to three with every eye closed tonight. And when I count to three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up nice and high if you're in here tonight and you know you're far from God. You know He's not in your sight. You know that you're struggling with something. You've been trying to do it by yourself. But you know tonight you need Him with you. As I tell you this, it's not about what's wrong with you. When you ask Jesus in your life, when you admit that you need Him in your world, it's not a sign of weakness, it is a sign of strength. It's not about what's wrong with you, it's about what is right with you. Everything we do is for this moment right here, so you can come and have Jesus in your life. So with every eye closed, and nobody looking around, I'm gonna count to three, and I'm gonna ask you, if you're in here, you've never asked Jesus into your life before. You walked away from Him before. You haven't served Him for years. You don't really know. If you were to be honest with yourself, you don't know Him anymore. And you know tonight, before you leave here, you're going to get things right with your Savior. So if that's you tonight, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand up nice and high and say, Jesus, I need You. More than anything, I need You. More than water, I need You. More than air, I need You. Tonight, I need You, God. On the count of three, if that's you, ready? One, two, three. If that's you, lift your hand up nice and high. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands up everywhere. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, 10 more seconds if that's you. Don't wait. There's people hands everywhere. You're in good company tonight. Thank you right there. I see you in the third row. Thank you back there. Thank you, thank you. Come on, we're going to keep going. Thank you right now. That's it. We got a couple more seconds. I know God's not done yet. God's not done yet. Come on, don't wait. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. Thank you back there, sir. I see your hand. Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Come on, right now. Another couple seconds. I know there's some more people tonight. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to restore something. He wants to move in your life. He wants to move in your world. Come on, if you're online watching right now, you can respond as well. You can lift your hands. You can say a prayer in just a moment. Come on, you don't have to just be here to get Jesus in your life. If you, wherever state you're in, whatever country you're in, wherever you're watching right now, you can get Jesus in your world. He can meet you in your living room. He can meet you in your car. He can meet you in your kitchen. He can meet you wherever and whatever state that you are in right now. God, we thank You for what's happening in this place. In Jesus' name, this is what I want to do. I want us tonight to deal with our lion just a little bit more. Because you just dug a pit. Now it's time to finish him. So we're going to finish him. This is how we're going to do that. I'm going to count to three again just because I like doing it. Otherwise, people go at all weird times and it doesn't look as nice. So we're all going to do it at the same time. It's all going to be nice and pretty. I'm going to count to three. And anybody who raised their hand up and anybody who didn't and knows tonight you need to get your life right with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to make your way from your seat to here. Now, I just need to warn you that Central Campus 5 p.m. is crazy. So when you respond to Jesus, they go nuts. You probably won't even be able to hear yourself talk or think because they're going to celebrate with you. Why? Because right now, the angels are celebrating. They're having a party. So we're going to party too. So if that's you tonight and you need Jesus and you raise your hand on the count of three, I want you to walk, to run, to leap, to skip, whatever you got to do to get out here. Ready? One, two, three. Come on. Come. Keep coming, keep coming. You rescue me. put our hands together for these incredibly brave people. I'm just going to stay up here because I'm short. And if I go down there, no one can see what's happening. Especially the people online. They're going to go and microwave something. I don't want them to leave. So I'm going to stay up here. But we are so proud of you. So proud of you. So proud of you guys. You're married. That's awesome. How long have you been married? 3 years in June. He was thinking, she knew. We're all in the same place, bro. And we're so proud of you guys. Hand of God is on you. So God wants to say that your fights, you're going to take out more lions together. Don't think you have to deal with them by yourself. You can deal with them and fight them together. Two are better than one. If there's one thing the devil hates more than you going after him, it's when both of you go after him. So we're so proud of you, of all of you. Hey, so I'm just going to say this prayer. Everybody in here is going to pray. Again, they're crazy passionate. You might not be able to hear yourself say this prayer. If you're online, we want you to say this prayer as well. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer that has everlasting effects tonight. So we're going to say this prayer. I just want you to repeat this after me, everybody online. And if you didn't come forward, it's okay. God sees you. You can still have God come in your life in your seat where you are. So why don't we say these words out loud, especially you in front right now. Say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life tonight. I thank you that I'm a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things have become new. I thank you that my best days are ahead of me. And I thank you you're going to strengthen me and you're going to guide me to take out my lions. And I say tonight that I will serve you, I will love you, and I will honor you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Proud of you guys. Incredible. So good. Hey, we have a gift for you. We have a gift for you right now, and we have the best people in the church that want to make sure the decision you made here doesn't stay here, but actually goes with you for the rest of your life. We're going to take like 1 minute right now. You can look right here at this tall man, the one that doesn't need a stage. You're going to go with him, and just for a minute, someone's going to pray with you, give you a Bible, and make sure that you know, anything you need, they're going to help you out with. So why don't you follow these guys? Let's put our hands together for these guys right now. All right, we got like 60 seconds, all right? 60 seconds right now. So we're going to spend 60 seconds. The team's going to play. We're going to worship. And we're about to defeat and get the devil in a place where we tell him it ends here. So whatever you're going through tonight, whatever you're struggling with tonight, whatever lion or enemy or bear is in front of you, whatever addiction has gripped you, whatever it is that you're struggling with tonight, I want you to get that thing in front of you, look it in the eyes and say, my God is bigger. My God is stronger. If God is for me, who or what can stand against me? My God is great. My God is a healer. My God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. My God has not forsaken me. So come on right now, 60 seconds, fighting with the devil, taking him out in Jesus' name.